Hey everyone, welcome to LifeSpring Christian Church's Sermon Podcast, where each week we share insights on how to find and follow Jesus. I'm your host, Tim Ney. Let's get into today's featured sermon.
So we are actually talking about prayer here today, and maybe you've had that moment, or maybe you're currently going through that, just wondering what prayer actually is, and maybe how to pray. And if that's you, just know that that's actually something that's common, this idea of like wondering how do we pray, and it's something that Jesus addresses very clearly in his ministry, and we're going to be looking at it from Luke chapter 11. If you want to go ahead and get your Bibles ready to Luke chapter 11, then great. And as you're doing that, I'd like to just pull up on the screen here the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to actually say it together. And this may not be the version that you're 100% familiar with. This is actually what you find in the Didache. And the Didache is it's a first century document that we find written by the early church. So it's one of the very, very first documents we find. It actually predates the book of John and some of Paul's writings. And it's really mostly based upon Matthew and Luke. And so the Didache is a practical document of how the church is supposed to conduct itself, how it's supposed to actually work day in and day out. And one of the things it says, it's a very short read. I would encourage you, if you want to, you can download the PDF of the Didache and you can read what the early church has to say. One of the things it says, though, is you should read and you should recite, you should pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. So that's one of the things that the Didache actually references. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read. This is actually written in the Didache as the Didache states it. This is the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to ask you to read it with me as I read it out loud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. And maybe you've heard it said, amen. Amen. So that is the Lord's Prayer according to the Didache. And today we're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer, what it says biblically. We're going to look at the texts where we find the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to unpack the Lord's Prayer. And I just want to warn you in advance. Some of you, maybe it's your first Sunday. We don't do uncomfortable things every Sunday, but it might be a little bit uncomfortable for some of you, depending on your personality and depending on what brought you through the doors here this morning. But what we're going to do is we're actually going to learn how to pray. And then at the end, I'm just going to be bold and I'm just going to ask who's willing to lead some prayer groups. And we're actually going to pray as the Lord taught us to pray here this morning. We're going to put into practice what Jesus teaches us about how to pray. And so I just want you thinking in advance, if you think that might be you, if God's laying on your heart, hey, maybe I'm willing to lead one of these groups. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand at the end of the service and say, I'm willing to lead one of these groups. It'll make sense once we get there. You guys cool with that? Everyone understand the format? We're good. Okay, cool. Perfect. So that's the Lord's Prayer. But what is the Lord's Prayer? What is the Lord's Prayer? Well, let's look at Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read the Lord's Prayer from Luke's perspective and what Luke has to say about the Lord's Prayer. What we find here is we're in the section of the book of Luke in this series called Closer, where we're talking about that God is closer than you might think. And at first glance, sometimes we feel like God is distant, but he's really not. He is as close as sometimes a prayer. And so what we see here is that Jesus is with his disciples at the end of his ministry, and he's walking towards Jerusalem, where he's ultimately going to lay down his life for the sins of the world. And so he's heading towards Jerusalem, towards Passion Week. He's got his eyes set on Jerusalem, and he's got his disciples with him. And then his disciples see him go off and pray. So at the end of his ministry, before he lays down his life, they see him go off and pray. And one of his disciples just say, hey, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray? And that's the context where we find this passage. So it's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And here's what Luke says from the Lord's Prayer. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So when you read Luke's version, you might see that there are parts of the prayer that aren't in the here that are actually in the Didache. And so you compare the two and you say, okay, it's similar. There's similarities, but there might be a couple things that are different. What I'd like to do now is look at Matthew's account of this Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to talk about this because I think it's important that we understand a little bit more the context of Matthew's account. In Matthew's account, what we find is Jesus is at the very beginning of his ministry. He just got done being baptized, and he got sent into the desert because the Holy Spirit sent him into the desert to be tempted. Do you guys remember this? The Holy Spirit sent Jesus into the desert to be tempted, and then he's there, and then after that, he begins his ministry, after his baptism and his temptation. Towards the very beginning of his ministry, he preaches to a massive crowd of people. And when he's there, he says, don't be like the hypocrites who stand up and they want to be seen for their big words and the way they pray. Instead, pray like this. And this is what Jesus says. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, as you can see, we're looking at, I believe, two different prayers, two different times where Jesus taught people how to pray. In Matthew, at the beginning of his ministry to a big crowd of people, and in Luke, it's with his disciples as they're walking and heading towards Jerusalem. He goes off and he prays. So I believe these are two different accounts. So let's pull up the next slide here. And this just kind of highlights some of the differences here. And then at the very bottom, it says, neither account has, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's actually found in the Didache. And that's been something that we've carried on through church history. So if you pray the Lord's Prayer, it might be very true that you say, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's something that was added in the Didache. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's not actually in the original Greek in Matthew or in Luke. It's just something that's been added in. It's biblical. It's powerful. It's good. And so the early church said, this is the prayer that needs to be prayed three times a day. You see, I believe this. I believe that we have a lot of things to learn from Jesus teaching us how to pray. I believe we have a lot of things to learn from the Lord's Prayer here. And today we're just going to break it down. And then we're going to put into practice what Jesus taught us to do. And that's the thing about this series in Luke is we're actually wanting to see who Jesus is. What he said, what he taught, what he did. Because the goal of a Christian is to do that. The goal of a Christian is to be like Christ. And when he says, this is how you should pray, I think he's doing that because he wants us to learn how to pray. So I think there's no more practical, better thing we can do than actually do that here together today. So what can we learn from it? Number one, Jesus teaches us how to pray. That's your first fill in the blank. Jesus teaches us how to pray. And the truth is, we need to learn and we need to know how to pray. We just do. So if you've ever asked that question, like, God, how do I pray? You're not alone. Actually, the disciples themselves asked Jesus, teach me how to pray. There's nothing wrong with asking that question. How am I supposed to pray? The good news is Jesus actually gives us a template. And the template at the beginning of his ministry is the same as at the end of his ministry. The components are all the same. I believe it's because Jesus is trying to teach us how to pray. And he's consistent. It's not different at the end of his ministry than it is at the end of his ministry. So let's look at this. We're going to break down the Didache's version of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to take it line by line so we could better understand what the Lord's Prayer is and why Jesus is teaching us to pray this way. Okay? That's the format today. So the very first line here is, Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. No, that does not mean he does art in heaven. That's not what that means. Even if you are super creative and artistic, here's what it means. It means he lives in heaven. It's just a fancy way. We're talking about Old English. And that's he dwells in heaven. This is important that we start here. When we approach God, we're approaching a God who is eternal. And his dwelling place is not here on earth. His dwelling place is heaven. He spoke all of earth into existence. And through the Holy Spirit, he lives in the church. He lives in you and me. But it's important that we know we're approaching a heavenly Father whose dwelling place is heaven. This is a God who's omnipotent. a God who's omnipresent, a God who's omniscient, a God who can do anything he wants to do. Again, he spoke everything into existence, but make no mistake, his eternal dwelling place is heaven, and that is your dwelling place and my dwelling place as well. And so when we go to prayer, we start off going to a God that we know is eternally seated on his throne in heaven. That's really important as we start this off. Jesus he's consistent with this. Our Father. He's a loving Father, and he loves us tremendously, but make no mistake, he is all-powerful, and his dwelling place is heaven. And so we start there because that is his dominion. He owns heaven, everything in it. And he's got a kingdom in heaven that you and I will inherit someday. That's who we're going to. And so we start there, our Father in heaven. The second part of this is, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is just a really fancy word for holy, holy. And what Jesus is establishing with us when we pray is that God is holy. It means he's different than you and me. He's different. He's set apart. You see, when something's set apart as holy, it literally means that it is different. It's sacred. See, God is sacred. He is different. When we approach God, there should be a reverent fear that comes over us when we approach God. I used to hear from my dad. He used to say, son, I brought you into this world and I could take you out. And I'm like, I bet you can. And he would just tell that just to remind me, like, if you think at any point that you're the boss, you're not. I'm the boss. Okay, Dad, you are different from me. I get that. I get that. You see, God is all powerful. He is holy. He is separate from us. We approach him with a reverent fear. Now, the Bible says approach the throne of grace with confidence, and we do with confidence because of Jesus and what he's done for us, but make no mistake, we are going to a holy God who's different and set apart. And when we approach him with our prayers, we approach him with that humble attitude. We make sure that we have placed him clearly on the throne, that he is different than us, and his throne is in heaven, and he is holy. And then we move on to the next part. So God is holy is your next fill in the blank there. And the next part of the Didache that we come across here, of the Lord's Prayer and the Didache, is thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. One more time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. One of the things Jesus preached on more than anything else, and we actually find this early in the book of Luke, is that Jesus came to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus preached. His whole ministry was about the kingdom of God and bringing the kingdom of God here to planet earth. And people encountered the kingdom of God when they encountered Jesus. You see, the kingdom of God is what is heaven. So it starts there. God's in heaven, just like you are in heaven, just as things are in heaven. God, bring that here to earth. That's a big ask. We go to a God who can do anything. He can just speak it into existence. We go to that kind of a God and we say, God, just like it is in heaven, bring that here to earth. I believe this. I believe everything I see about Jesus and from God's word, when Jesus prays, he's praying and he's praying with this idea of, God, bring your kingdom here now. I had a guy recently spoke at a conference, a church planters conference, and he was talking about, I'm a preacher, and I went to a restaurant and there was this waitress that was there. She asked me what I do. And when you're a preacher and somebody asks you what you do, you're going to get one of two responses usually. Oh, that's great. Or you're going to get, oh, that's great. He got the second. So she goes, I can't believe you'd be a preacher. She goes, I look around the world around me and there's so much evil and children are being hurt and there's wars all over the place and it's such a bad, bad thing and it's horrible. The world is so broken and it's falling apart. And he just listened to her. And he goes, you know what? She doesn't need a sermon. You know what she needs? He came alongside her. He said, you and I agree with you. I said, I agree. This world is so broken. It's so hard. But you know what? God agrees with that too. God agrees with that. And he says, when I come to God, I don't come to God. I come to God because I know that he wants to do something about the brokenness in our world. He wants to bring his kingdom to us right now. See, being a Christian is not just about eternity. That's part of it. Being a Christian is about God making himself known right here and right now. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. You realize the power of that prayer? God, manifest yourself, show yourself here on earth just like it is in heaven, because when we get to heaven, everything's going to be perfect. There's no more tears, there's no more sadness. So it starts in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. That's a great prayer. It's powerful. And so the next fill in the blank here is we need his kingdom on earth. We need his kingdom on earth. God, reveal yourself, manifest yourself, make your character known, and do that through your church. Do that through us. God, make a difference in our current reality, not just eternity, but our current reality. And then the next part is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This line would have hit home really quickly with the early church, because this is the same language of manna from heaven. So as God's people were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, they depended every day on manna that came from heaven, bread from heaven. And so daily bread makes a lot of sense in the ears of the early church. And Jesus is saying, we depend on the Father, the one who has all things in his hands. We depend on him to provide for us here today. Now, it's interesting because a lot of times if you get into a group of people and you say, what can we pray for? We automatically jump straight to the pray for my Aunt Susie. And that's wonderful. We need to be praying for our Aunt Susie. We need to be doing that. And we need to be praying for the things that we need from God. Absolutely, we need to do that. But it seems like every time we get together and we pray, a lot of times that's just the default. What can we pray for? Well, Jesus actually tells us what we can be praying for. He gives us this formula. He tells us, like do these things, like pray in this way. But oftentimes we jump straight to the daily bread, do we not? We jump straight to daily bread, and we just bypass all the other things in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, when we approach God with this humility and we realize who he is and we've placed him on the throne and we've asked for him to make himself known here in our day-to-day life, and then we pray the supplication of praying for God to be at in the midst of daily bread, that's just a powerful, powerful thing. And so I just want to bring that up. Like daily bread is about going to God for our daily needs, because here's the thing, God provides. That's the next thing. God provides, and if you believe that and you pray that, you will see that God will do miraculous things. I've heard so many incredible stories about how God has taken care of you right here at LifeSpring. So many stories of you guys saying, I'm telling you what, I just heard one here this morning. I would not even be here today if it weren't for God providing for me. Powerful story. So God provides, and we go to him and we pray that. The next one is this, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Luke actually says, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. And Matthew says, forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Whichever version you look at, similar language. So the reality is this. We need forgiveness. That's your next fill in the blank. We need forgiveness. You see, why did God send Jesus? God sent Jesus for one primary purpose, and that was to address our sin, to atone for our sins. And he showed us the way. He showed us how to live. He showed us how to live a faithful, righteous life. And then he gave up his own life so that we could find life. You see, it's our sin that he came to deal with, the brokenness we talked about of the world that we live in. Your kingdom come, and at the heart of his kingdom coming is addressing our sin. So Jesus makes it clear, pray for that. Pray, God, deal with my sin. You see, the truth is, if we don't allow God to deal with our sin, we're not really praying. We're talking at God. The core of it all is God came to atone for our sin. And so we have to address the sin issue and allow for God to address that. So we pray for forgiveness. But the second part of that is, as we forgive those who sin against us. You see, it's easy when we go to God and we pray for our Aunt Susie and we pray for all these other things. But when was the last time we prayed for that and we prayed for our own needs? And then we said, and by the way, I pray for my enemies and that you take care of them as well. Forgive, and even as we forgive others. At the heart of all of it for a Christian is forgiveness. That's why Jesus died on a cross. And so in this prayer, our sin issue needs to be addressed as his kingdom is brought here to earth. Our sin issue needs to be addressed. And when that happens, then and so that's it. We need forgiveness. The next one is this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, again, that's interesting language for some of you. The thought process that God might lead us into temptation. I don't fully know what to do at this point. But here's what I do know. Jesus is fully aware of this point. You see, it was Jesus in Matthew when we found out that he was led out into temptation by the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting passage. The text clearly says the Holy Spirit led Jesus into temptation, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days where he gets tempted. And then he goes off and he then begins his ministry. He's baptized, he's tempted. And so God says, Father, don't send us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's what I believe we're really hearing here. I believe that we're hearing that we need to avoid sin, and we need to ask for God to help us to avoid sin at all costs. You see, we need to go to God and ask him to make sure that he is with us and he is giving us the strength to stay away from sin, because sin will destroy us, and Jesus knows that. So when he teaches us how to pray, he teaches us to pray about our sin issue and to receive forgiveness, but also to avoid sin. So that's the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus taught us to do. So the question is, what does that mean for us? In one sentence, if I could say it in one sentence, I'd say it like this. I believe that our prayer is about God's kingdom impacting and changing our current reality. Let me say that again. Our prayer is about God's kingdom impacting and changing our current reality. That's a lot to unpack. I'm going to let you sit there and just take it apart as it's up there on the screen. But I believe with all of my heart that God is doing something, and he's doing something right now. Today, I was talking to somebody, and they said, Mike, we get together every Thursday, and we pray. And this man whom I respect looks me in the eye, and he's got a little tear in his eye, and he says, and we know that God is up to something, and he just heard a story that was remarkable, and he said, and every time we pray, we know God's going to do something. We don't know exactly what he's going to do. And then I hear stories like that, Mike. That's why we pray. That's what he told me. He said, that's why we pray. And I looked at him and I go, you're right. You're right. Church, do we believe that God, our Father, is in heaven, and holy is his name, and his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? So we go to him and ask him for daily bread, to forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us, and to be led out of temptation and delivered from the evil one. If you want to add in, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, do it. It's beautiful. God wants to change our current reality, and he can, because he's seated in heaven. He's the only one who can. So here's what we're going to do. I prayed about it in advance. I still don't know how it's going to go. But I'm just going to ask for people to be bold. And here's going to be the format. We're going to take about 10 minutes here, and we're going to pray together. And here's the format. I have an acronym for prayer. In your groups, you're just going to collectively do these things. You're going to place him on his throne. He's already there. You're going to acknowledge him. It's his kingdom, heaven. You're going to praise him. You're going to exalt him in your groups. And then the second thing you're going to do in your groups is you're going to realize that he wants to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. You may not be able to see it, but it's capital R. It's bold. We've got a little acronym going on for you here. I did the best I could. Realize that he wants to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Acknowledge that. Ask him to be a part of our present reality and to bring that kingdom to us. Next is ask God to provide daily as he promised for you, your friends, for your Aunt Susie. It's wonderful. And for your enemies. The last one is, I needed a why, forgive me. Yearn for God's strength. I couldn't find anything with a why. Yearn for God's strength, not our flesh. That we are holy like God is holy, and that we're not people of sin, but we're people who are set apart for his good work and what he would do through us. I believe that God wants to bring his kingdom to earth. Jesus preached about it. It's about the good news of the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that's going to change our reality and our life. So let's pray for that here today. And here's why I want to ask you to be bold. I said at the beginning, who's willing to lead one of these groups here this morning? Raise your hand. Who's willing to lead a group? I see a couple hands. Like, come on. More hands. I need like 30 or 40 hands. Come on, let's start popping them up. There you go. Let's get more hands. Over here, there's like two hands. I'm talking about groups of five or six people. You guys can do this. I love it. You see hands up? Why don't you guys go to those people? Okay, I see more hands going up. Thank you, Jesse. That's awesome. I want you guys to get in groups of about five or six, and we're only going to take about 10 minutes. You're going to be guided through this, and we're going to actually go through this. And about 5 minutes in, I'm going to call the communion team to go back and get communion ready. You're going to continue to pray. And then we're going to pass communion, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing. But let's pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Go ahead and if you're willing to pray, go ahead and stand up. If you're willing to lead a group, and then let's go around those people, and let's go ahead and do this together. Just follow the format on the screen. We're going to leave this up. Some of you still wrapping up in your groups, and that's okay. I'm not going to stop you from praying. You can keep praying if you'd like. But here's what we're going to do. We are going to pass communion out. And so as people are going to come up and be passing communion out. And then you guys will have a chance to take communion whenever you want to during this last song. Guys, Jesus taught us to pray for a reason. It's because we need to know. We need to know how to pray. And so thank you guys for praying with me here. To pray, we recognize that you revealed yourself in the biggest of ways by putting on flesh and by dying on a cross. You dealt with our sin issue once and for all, God. And yes, we look at eternity, but God, we look at our present reality and we thank you. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for the way of life. And God, I pray that as we take this cracker that represents your broken body and the juice that represents your shed blood, that's another encounter we have with your goodness of your kingdom that comes and changes our world, our eternity, God, everything about us. We thank you for dealing with our sin. We pray, God, that we can live a life worthy of the call and that you can use us to bring your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about LifeSpring Christian Church or for more sermons, please visit us at mylifespringchurch.org. That's mylifespringchurch.org.